Going back to day one in our 40 days of Easter, it says, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Notice that Christ gave up his spirit. He didn't give up. He handed over his spirit to God, which tells you that he and God were always in control. It was their plan from the beginning, because they knew what the Pharisees would do. The Jews were guilty of taking Christ's life, of crucifying him on the cross. But God and Christ had planned it from the beginning. They knew the depravity of the Pharisees, and they knew how they would have to step in to bring you to salvation, to bring us to salvation. Notice the curtain was torn from top to bottom, from God down to human. Torn by God, not by human. It's God reaching down to us, heaven breaking through to earth at this very moment, this significant moment, as Jesus Christ dies on the cross and he hands over his spirit. The curtain is torn from top to bottom, from God to you. Up to this point in history, only the high priest could ever enter into the presence of God, and only once a year. Only the high priest had direct access to God. This showed you the importance, the significance of the priestly order, of the priestly tribes of Levi. The priest was a God-fearer, literally. When the high priest entered the Holy of Holies, they tied a rope around his waist so that if he was overcome, they could pull him out, as we saw in our demonstration. In our 40 days of Easter, it tells us the curtain was 4 inches thick. Incredibly heavy. Incredibly strong. It tells us in the Bible that it was created by Bezaleel, who was full of the Spirit, who was full of wisdom, who had the God-given skill to create this curtain with helpers. It was made of blue and scarlet and purple thread. Very, very expensive dyes in that day. You wouldn't have seen anything like this curtain around the Holy of Holies anywhere else. It was a great work of art, which showed reverence to God. Josephus, the historian, wrote that horses could not rip that curtain apart. It wasn't ripped by humans from the bottom to the top. They wouldn't have been strong enough. There's no way they could have done it. Not even if you're as strong as Methuselah could you rip that curtain. And you couldn't rip it from top to bottom, because actually it was 40 foot high and probably about 60 feet wide, which gives you an idea of the smallness of our Holy of Holies that we recreated here. Jewish tradition and the Talmud says it would have taken about 300 priests just to carry it, because it's 4 inches thick and that weighs quite a lot. And if that's 40 foot high and 60 foot wide, that would be extremely heavy. That's why it took 300 priests to carry it. Yet when Christ died on the cross, at that moment, the curtain ripped apart from top to bottom. Now, knowing the uniqueness, knowing all those details about that curtain, tells you how important this moment is, and that it must have been a miraculous moment. Nothing done by the human, but something done by God and Christ alone. It was incredible, an incredible moment in history, not to be repeated. A divine moment in time. It cements the utter significance of the event itself. Now, we all have direct access to God through Christ. Now, we all have direct access to Christ. Before that, it was only the high priest that had that direct access. Christ is the Lamb that was slain to take away the sins of the world. The significance of this moment is profound. Jews no longer went to the priests for the slaughtering of the lamb or the goats to take away their sin, because Christ now has been slaughtered once and for all. Our sin is taken upon his shoulders, and we are relieved of that sin, and we receive salvation and redemption. The priestly sacrifice was no longer necessary. The priestly order no longer acted as the intermediary between us and God. The intermediary between God and us is Christ himself. We now pray in the Spirit to Christ through to God. When Christ died on the cross, the law of Moses was fulfilled. And we now live by grace, not by law. All the laws that you find in the Old Testament, especially in Leviticus, have been fulfilled by that moment of Jesus Christ on the cross, and we now live by grace, not by law. Corinthians 13 tells us Christ fulfills the law. This has profound significance for us because it means we can no longer live by law. We have to live by grace. We can't earn that grace or it wouldn't be grace. There's no point whipping yourself. There's no point being disappointed with yourself and then trying to put it right in all 1,000 different ways. The only way to put it right is just to pray to God and leave it to him. Your sins were forgiven at Calvary. It means most of the laws in the book of Leviticus no longer stand. They are fulfilled. It means us, as Christians, we live out of the New Testament. Don't mishear me. The Old Testament's still extremely important. You couldn't possibly understand the New Testament without knowing the Old Testament. But there's portions of the Old Testament that have been fulfilled. We need to live by grace, not by law. Christ died on the cross at Golgotha, Calvary. All our sin was loaded upon him. So salvation and redemption and reconciliation could be loaded upon our shoulders. Many don't want to believe it. Many have tried to disprove it. Many have tried to disprove what happened to Jesus Christ on the cross. Like Phlegon, a Byzantine first century historian, in his works Chronicles, he insisted that there was an eclipse, and that's why everything went dark. But later scientists confirmed that there was no eclipse at that time. Thus Phlegon, in an attempt to disprove Christ, actually only served to confirm and verify there was a great darkness. But it wasn't because of an eclipse. It was because of the reaction of creation itself. Hallelujah. Tertullian and Origen, second century historians, make reference to Phlegon's works, though Phlegon's chronicles have perished over time. The soldier at the crucifixion, who earlier mocked Christ as King of the Jews, suddenly realized Christ is the Son of God because the universe itself reacted to Christ's death. There was darkness and there was earthquake and there were split rocks, and the soldier, the centurion, saw this and knew this was the Son of God. In Matthew 27:54, the terrified soldier said, "Surely he was the Son of God." This was a revelation upon that centurion who was mocking him one minute and then claiming that he is the Son of God the next, because he saw how the universe had reacted to the death of Christ. On the cross, we hear Jesus say, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" Christ was fully God and fully human at the same time. My God, why have you forsaken me? Is a cry from his human heart. It's part of the mystery of God that Jesus was to experience human suffering more profound than any other, because his love was more profound for you than any other. And as fully God, he knew what was coming. That's why he also cried out to God at Gethsemane, "Take this cup of suffering, but your will, not mine." So profound will his suffering be, he sweats blood at Gethsemane. In Psalm 22, more than 1,000 years before Christ, there is a prophetic word in Psalm 22 that says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish?" It's a prophetic word from that psalmist about what is to come for Christ. Now, my heart of compassion makes me want to take away the horror of what happened to Christ. I desperately want to comfort you all. I want to protect you from the horror of that moment that he died on the cross and what led up to that. I want to remind you of the famous poem, "Footprints in the Sand." "In the darkest days of my life, there was one set of footprints. It was then that I carried you." I want to relate this to Christ on the cross. However, that would be to sugarcoat the scriptures. It would be to pretend that the horror of the crucifixion didn't really happen. But it did. It was horrific. It was full of pain and anguish and desolation. It was evil heaped upon evil. Pain heaped upon pain. Anguish heaped upon anguish. To understand this scripture, to comprehend the desperation, the evil and the pain placed upon one man. And we have to do that to understand the importance of Jesus. Because the depth of evil and despair and pain helps us to understand the depth of his love for you, because he chose to do it before time existed. He knew what was coming and he was still prepared to take that horror upon himself because he loves you so much. I want you to take a moment to remember evil done to you in your life. Deliberate, planned, distressing, evil unleashed upon you. Most of us have experienced some of that evil piled upon us at some point in our lives. I just want you to ponder on that for a moment. The evil that has been placed upon you by someone at some point. And now multiply it. Think of all the evil done by the human race to the human race. Here's the difficult part. We are responsible for it. Holocausts, hangings, beheadings, killings, wars, and that's even going on today, as we've already prayed about. Now imagine all that evil and pain placed upon one man's shoulders. And when we read Isaiah 52, it tells us, it gives us a glimpse of that pain. His appearance was disfigured, beyond that of any human, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So here we see in Isaiah, thousands of years before, a prophetic view of what is going to happen to Jesus Christ and the horror that will befall him. I wanted to express to you a level of pain that this scripture contains. I wanted to express to you the level of pain that humans can cause to other humans by our sin. And then I want you to remember that each and every one of us, every single iniquity was piled onto Jesus Christ. Mine and yours and everyone in this country and everyone in this world and across history, and all those iniquities of the future too were piled upon Jesus Christ. And that is horrendous. But he did it because he loves you and was prepared to take that upon his shoulders. Wow! That is the level of love that Christ has for you, all of you, every single one of you, and you as an individual. The pain you see there is nothing in comparison to what Christ bought for you. Incredible pain overcome by incarnational love. Incredible pain overcome by unending love. Incredible pain overcome by unconditional love. And three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love from Jesus Christ himself. Incredible pain overcome by incarnational love. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for what you have done for us. That you took that pain upon yourself and you planned it that way. You knew what it would take and how much it would hurt. And you did it through sheer love for each and every individual. I want to thank you from my very soul. I want to thank you from my spirit, and I want to thank you with all my strength. Amen and amen.